Welcome, everyone. This is Tejpal. I'm so happy to have you here. I'm so happy to connect with you. I know most of you in this call, so that's always great to connect to your essence. And so the topic of today is to explore how we can live from fear to faith and how we can express more and more the quality of faith. So in order to do that, and we're going to do different exercises today, we're going to do a few short meditations and some reflections. So if you don't have a pen and paper, just grab one, because you will need some of that along the time we have together. So faith is kind of interesting. For years, I thought faith was some kind of nice, fluffy, serene, divine kind of quality, kind of experience. And along the years, I realized that faith has not much to do with that. Faith is not fluffy at all. But it's not something we plan. It's not something we organize. It just happens, and sometimes out of nowhere. I remember when I decided to move from Paris to New York over 20 years ago, I mean, there was some fear, but there was some faith, too. And I was leaving a secure job, going to a not very well-known country. But what happened is, inside myself, I felt I had no choice. It was just like, well, that's what I need to do. And that is faith. When I decided to not work for 3 years or do different kind of work because I went to Caddy and the LPGA tour for 3 years, even if I was doing a little bit of coaching over the phone, I was doing energy healing for those players and caddying. I mean, it took some faith, but at that moment, it was clear. And so the beauty of faith is when we can experience it, we really connect to the clarity and the simplicity of our desires. And that's perhaps something we will go back to. And so faith could be very simple sometimes. It doesn't have to be as drastic as the examples that I share. It could be a truthful conversation with someone. It could be a different way to set boundaries that you haven't done before. It could be going to a personal development workshop. You may take a lot of faith for that. It could be drastic changes also, obviously, that you're creating in your life. But it could be also the way you face an illness. So it can happen in a lot of different situations. And so I just want for you to explore right now, and you may want to write down a few things. When was the last time you really acted from a place of faith? When was the last time you really acted from a place of faith? So just take a few minutes here to reflect on that. Take about one more minute. And as you explore a situation where it was very clear when you acted from a place of faith, be curious also about the experience of it. And most likely, I suspect at that moment, it felt very clear, very simple, very neutral. And that's really the quality of faith, which is different than wishful thinking or praying from a place of fear. That is not faith. That's, I don't know how to call that. And a lot of time I hear that people think faith is kind of this kind of positive thinking type of thing. It's not that. It's just a place of clarity and neutrality. And so what we want to do now is to see how we can experience that more often so that you're going to really, truly manifest what you truly desire. And in order to do that, we need to look at the polarity. You know, on the one side we have faith, and on the other side we have fear. Or on the one side we have faith, and on the other side we have worries. And so usually what feeds worries, anxiety, or fear is going to be the mind. And we have so many opportunities to be agitated with our mind. And so what we need to explore here is to see how we can help the mind to be a little stiller so that we don't have to believe that our thoughts are real or our thoughts are true or our thoughts are the essence of our life. They're just thoughts. And so one of the ways to rewire the mind is certainly to work on breath. So we're going to do two short meditations, back-to-back, by the way. And those meditations, my hope is you love them and you want to do them on a regular basis, because every time we want to shift something, we need just to practice over and over and over. And even if you practice 3 minutes a day, it's a great start to create a shift. Because each time you're thinking, you're having an emotion at the same time, and you're having a breath pattern. So in order to change our thoughts, we can start to change how we breathe. So the first meditation that we are doing, believe it or not, you're going to keep your eyes opened. And so find a way to be seated in a comfortable position, but sit, you know, with your back straight, your shoulders are relaxed. So take advantage of your physical body when you do a meditation or breath work so that you're going to receive all the benefits of it. And if you are seated on a chair, be sure that your feet are on the floor. If you are sitting on the floor, same thing, be sure that, you know, you may be in easy pose on the floor. Just find a way that your spine is straight, that the neck is a prolongation of your spine, so your face is a little bit down, that your shoulder blades are almost joining together and your shoulders are dropping and your butt muscles are dropping into the chair or in the floor in some way. And from that place, open your eyes. And the breath is going to be the following. You're going to inhale one stroke through the mouth and exhale one stroke through the nose. What's very important in that first meditation, which is going to be an energizing meditation, a clearing energizing, which is good at the end of the day, you want to keep the rhythm. And the rhythm is 1 second on the inhale, 1 second on the exhale. So it's a pretty active, fast-paced kind of breath. And when you inhale through the mouth, you pucker your lips. So your lips are a little connected together as you do that quick inhale, quick exhale. And so take a few breaths in and out through the nose first. Use your belly. And we're going to do that for about 3 minutes. To energize our being. One more minute. Take a deep inhale through the mouth and hold the breath in and release the breath. As you release the breath, close your eyes. We're going back to two short meditations. I think they go very well together. As you have your eyes closed, take your right thumb and block your right nostril. And for this one, you are inhaling through the left nostril, long, deep inhale through the left, and long, deep exhale through the mouth. And then you keep on going. Inhale through the left nostril, exhale through the mouth. When you inhale through the left, you activate the right brain, the intuitive brain, the creative brain, the associated brain. You activate the quality of the moon energy, the feminine polarity in your being, the sensor, the receiver. The one that's going to make decisions from a place of emotions and senses instead of from a place of achieving, forcing, and pushing. So keep on going. One more minute. And so finish your cycle. and take a deep breath in at the end of your cycle through both nostrils so you can relax your right hand. Hold the breath in and release the breath. So if you choose to start the day with those two back-to-back, I guarantee it's just going to help you just feel clearer, energized, and more at peace with whatever is going on in your life. So bring them, the two of them together. We did about 3+ minutes for each. You could even start with 2+ minutes if you don't have much time, but that would be a good way to start. To keep working on the mind and helping us to step back and not jumping or reacting, which is what fear, anxiety, or worries is going to give us versus faith, we need to explore a great tool that comes from the yogi, which is what we call the three minds. And the yogis have described the way we process information through the mind with three aspects of the mind, of three minds. And they call it the negative mind, the positive mind, and the neutral mind. And what they say is no matter what happened in our life, we are using those minds. But some of us may get stuck too much in the negative mind or get stuck too much in the positive mind, which is not better, by the way, because nothing happened. So the negative mind is the mind, the beauty of the negative mind is the mind that looks at possible danger. So in some ways that the mind is a protector to hold us safe. Too much of the negative mind is going to be, of course, too much judgment, too much focusing on catastrophe scenario, too much focusing on all the things that can't work and so forth. But there is a beauty in it. And then there is the positive mind that always looks at all the possibilities. What if? With lots of excitement. And there is beauty there, but if we have too much of positive mind, then there is sometimes a lot of excitement, but not enough follow through. And so it's not good either. And then we have the neutral mind that kind of is able to step back and to bring, in some ways, enough wisdom in the situation. So I'm going to give you an example, but before jumping into that, what the yogis have said is always the negative mind is going to be the fastest mind and the loudest mind to jump in every situation, whether we are aware of it or not. And then we're going to have the positive, and then the neutral mind. So it always goes in that order. Obviously, the balance or the blend of those three minds is unique for each and every one of us. Obviously, if we want to experience more faith, we need to be able to be in the neutral mind. But in order to be able to be in the neutral mind, we really need to be able to explore the negative mind and the positive mind. We cannot just jump right away into the neutral mind. So there's an exercise that I'm going to give you now, and I will give you an example before you're doing it. But I want you to choose a situation right now in your life when you feel you're stuck or you know you have to do drastic changes. And so your level of faith may not be as high as you would like it to be. And you're gonna just write down that situation in one sentence. And so for some of you, it could be stopping to work in the business you are in and starting a new journey and exploring what's your purpose. For some of you, it could be starting being open and curious to start a new personal relationship. For some of you, it could be a relocation. It could be a lot of things. For some of you, it could be working with clients in a way that you never worked before. So whatever that is, but write that situation that gives you some level of stress. It could be finding a way to communicate better with some people that are in your life. And you're going to first write from the negative mind. And so here, the example that I chose is a situation of mine that really happened about 2 to 3 years ago, where I was facing a illness and nobody knew exactly what it was. And the symptoms were a lot of pain in my muscles night and day. I was waking up with so much pain and so much soreness and a nervous system that was buzzing all the time. So a lot of symptoms that looked like lupus, by the way, but nobody could decide if it was really lupus and so forth. And so if I was going to go through my negative mind wanted to have an answer, wanted to know. And so I found myself at times spending a lot of time and spinning with my head, going through the web, trying to surf and to see, okay, is this illness or that illness or this illness, and going, waking up in the morning and having so much pain already as I was waking up, going into that, oh, I have to get up and I have to go through that day. So that was the negative mind. I was negative about all those doctors that couldn't find what the heck I was going through. So that's the negative mind. So you're going to write from the negative mind about your situation. Then you jump into the positive mind. And so it was tempting for me at times, some days, to really get stuck in the negative mind. But here, what you have to do with that exercise, you have to stretch and go through the positive mind. And so the positive mind for me is to remind myself that at that time, wow, I could still go, I could still get up, I could still work with clients, which was really wonderful because it was just a healing on its own. It was a great, good distraction, and it was extremely uplifting for me. So I could still do quite a lot of things, and I had to remind myself that. And every day that I was working with clients, I was very thankful. So right, what the positive mind has to say about that same situation. So you stretch yourself. And because you went through neutral and negative and positive, then you can have a sense of your neutral mind. And for me, the neutral mind was very clear. I mean, I knew deep inside I could heal no matter what it was. And I knew that the beauty that nobody knew what it was exactly is I didn't have to get blocked into a specific label with all the preconceived ideas and all the whatever the consequences that, you know, goes with when we are labeled with an illness. So it was pretty good that I didn't have any label from the neutral mind. And I also knew that I had enough friends and great healers to receive love and support from. And so what I invite you now is do that exercise. Write, don't only think, write down a few things about the negative, then the positive, and then the neutral. Take a break, about 2 to 3 minutes long. a little less than 1 minute to finish this exercise. Great. So what I suggest you to do is, regarding that particular situation that you have chosen, do it several times. So maybe for 4 or 5 days in a row. Do it even if it's quick, like 3, 4 minutes, no more than that, over and over and over. So you teach your mind to jump from negative to positive to neutral. And as you practice that exercise for several days in a row, I mean, you can do more than 4 or 5 days, but that would be the minimum. Then automatically your mind is going to start to do that exercise, and that will help you to create more space. And when you create more space, then there is more faith. I mean, really, that's as simple as that. So I want to keep on going before we go to question and answer, and to explore one of the biggest things that's in the way to faith, which I think is fear. But it's interesting because every fear that we experience teaches us a lesson. And are we ready to learn? Are we willing to learn the lesson that every fear that we experience teaches us? And we need to be curious about that. So the idea is not to get rid of fear, because that, first of all, doesn't really work in this way, so we can try, but it never works. But the idea is to be curious about the lesson in the fear. So if we explore some major fears, and I'm going to go through 6 major fears, and you may want to take a few notes if you want. I mean, the call is recorded, so you can get the recording, but because I will have you assess after those 6 fears. So the first fear that I see a lot is what I call the fear of lacking, so not having enough. And so usually the pattern that I see in that context, when I'm not sure I'm going to have enough time, enough money, enough friends, enough this. So the pattern could be either, if we take the idea of money, spending too much or doing too much, so that almost confirm the idea that there is not enough, and be addicted to that fear of lacking. Or sometimes I see another pattern, another behavior, which is holding everything, counting everything. There is no time and no money and no this and no that. So that's the pattern, the two kind of behaviors that are connected to the fear of lacking. The real lesson here for some of you, if some of you are into that experience of fear, is to reinvent your relationship with desires. To reinvent to relationship with desires, and that your desires need to come from a place of peace instead of a place of fear or a place of compulsive behavior in some ways. So it's all about trusting your desires and trusting the quality of them. So that's what's going on into the fear of lacking. They're usually a lack of connection. The desires are usually not coming from a place of peace. So that's the first fear. The second fear that I experience a lot when I work, with 30 years or more of working with thousands of people, is the fear of isolation. And so the main patterns that I see is either becoming very needy or to isolate oneself. And so the teaching here, the lesson, is to really explore and assess your own needs
and to accept in some ways your neediness, but in a good way, because every human being has needs. And when we don't accept them, then we cannot be centered. We cannot have that feeling of being connected even when we are alone. So when we feel isolated, it's because we're not connected to our own needs. And we can feel isolated in a group of people, by the way. I have experienced that myself at times. So it's not like there's, we can have people around, but that connection to one need is really key there, and that's the lesson. And not to be ashamed of it. The third fear that I experience a lot is what I call the fear of rejection. And so the pattern that I see the most into people carrying that fear is either being a great pleaser or a perfectionist or an overachiever. But pleaser or overachiever is going to be really, 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 really strong in the fear of rejection or sometimes going into perfection. And so the real lesson here is to understand that truth is freedom. And if I speak my truth, then it's all good. Then I can experience faith. So that's going to be the teaching, the learning for people who experience that fear of being rejected. Then the number four fear is what I call the fear of failure. So here's the pattern also for people who have a fear of failure. They could be overachiever too, by the way. Or they could also commit to nothing. Commit to nothing. I can't commit because if I commit, it may not work. So I don't want to commit. Or there is no risk taken. And so the whole story here is around my results define me. And so the behavior is a lot into comparison and what's going on in the environment and always comparing instead of the lesson is to surrender. And surrendering has nothing to do with giving up. Surrendering has nothing to do with letting go. Letting go is about releasing. Surrendering is about embracing the moment, accepting, receiving. So the notion of surrendering is about receiving. And quite frankly, when we are receiving, then the real lesson is we know that in life, it's not about succeeding, but it's about the ability to bounce back when things don't work. The best leaders, the people that are the happiest are not the most successful people 24/7, but they bounce back fast. And so it takes the quality of surrendering here. That's the teaching of accepting, forgetting the fear of failure. Then we have, I put it because I see it, I guess in my practice also, is the fear of getting ill, the fear of illness. And so I see it sometimes, particularly when people have faced pretty intense illnesses. And so there is that constant panic and that overanalyzing and trying to force a strong will to be into positive thinking all the time, but it becomes mechanical and it's not real. And so the lesson here for if some of you, you know, some people facing deep illness, is really revisiting your boundaries, revisiting the notion of boundaries, because an illness has always to do with boundaries. The cells, the boundaries of the cells got damaged one another, got triggered one another, and that's what creates illness. And so what we say yes to and what we say no to is really the focus there. And I put a number six fear, which I call the fear of change and the fear of unknown. And the main pattern that I witness here, it's all over planning, over-planning, over-organizing everything, and believing that you can create change only when you know what's next. You can create change only when you have a plan for what's next. Well, guess what? If we were only create changes this way, nothing would happen most of the time. That's not the way we create change. So here, the way we need to create change is almost a little bit, the teaching is close to the one, the number one, the fear of lacking, is about trusting your desires and trusting your intent. And the first one has to do with trusting the desires, but first to reinvent and to the quality of the desires, because the first one, the fear of lacking, is the desires are almost compulsive, reactive, though they don't come from a place of peace. Here, you may have desires, but you don't trust them because you need a plan. You need a safety net. And life doesn't really work that way. Your desires are your safety net, not anything else. So here we have those six major fears. And what I want you to be curious now is to assess yourself and to, as you listen to these six fears, to see which one matches you the best. What is your biggest fear? Which one is your biggest fear out of those six? It doesn't mean that you have to experience it all day long, but we are fear-based, so it's still part of your foundation. And so take the time to do that. Either fear of lacking, isolation, fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of illness, or fear of change, / unknown. So once you have assessed, number two is notice what you do in your life to avoid that fear. What do you do in your life to avoid that fear? And that's perhaps the very important question. And if there is a fear that I have not listed that comes to you, obviously write down that fear and try to explore what could be the teaching for you. But so, for example, if I said that my fear is the fear of being rejected, if it is my story, or underneath that, I'm going to be a super pleaser. I'm going to try to please everybody, make sure everybody is happy, make sure everybody thinks I'm wonderful and all these kind of things. So when I do all these dance to be sure I'm avoiding that fear, guess what? That fear becomes at the center of my life instead of my purpose. So I'm dancing around something I don't want to experience, that fear. And that fear is at the center of my life. So it's very important to be aware about what is the fear that you are avoiding the most, that you are afraid of, that is taking a lot of you, either you are clearly aware of it, because this one is going to create behaviors that's kind of a waste of your time, if that makes sense. So you may want to write a few things down. You can always go back to that. And as you connect to that fear at that moment, I want you to close your eyes and to locate where is that fear, where is it connected in your body? Where is that fear lodged in your body? Is it in your throat? Is it in your jaw? Is it in your belly? Or in your heart center, or in your shoulders? Just be curious. Be curious about the location of that fear. And what I want you to do now, I want to receive that fear. I want you to get rid of it, as I say, first of all, it doesn't work. I want you, if you want to put your hand where the fear is on your body, you can put your hand there. But receive the physical quality of that fear. Be curious. Is it a porcupine energy? Does it feel like a cloud? Or does it feel like mucus? Perhaps some of you see colors. Or perhaps a shape. Is it heavy? Is it light? Just receive. And as you receive, without trying to, you're curious, but you're not analyzing. Then you may receive some insight. You may receive a little image or little words of wisdom. Or not, it doesn't matter, by the way. And you may feel a shift in the physical body, in your energy. It's like, wow, that's not as heavy anymore. It's not that tense. It's not this. It's not that. So what you're doing here, you're doing healing work on yourself. Because the best healers on this planet, no matter what condition they have, they will first receive your pain, your fear, whatever that is. They will not get rid of it. They will receive it first. So as you receive it, you start to help the energy shift. So you can take a deep breath in. And you can release the breath. And so what I want you to do now is to open the call for questions. If some of you have some questions, either about the fear and the lesson that you have, or anything else, or think you want some insight about relating to faith. And so in order to ask a question, what you need to do is to press star 2 so that I know you want to ask something and therefore I can help you. So if you press star 2, then I will unmute you, and then I will give some space for whatever question you have. So I see that everybody is really, really quiet, and that's okay. It takes faith to ask questions, that's for sure. Isn't that interesting? That's the topic of today. But you may also just not have any particular questions, which is good. So if you don't have any questions, I'm going to go to the next thing. And then if you do have questions, you can always press star 2 so that I can just listen to you. So as you explore the teaching here, I want to give also another tool, which is another short meditation. I love to give these short meditations because they are very powerful. And depending on who you are, some of them will talk to you more than others. And so I like abundance of things, you know, and so that you have options. So this meditation is also going to help you to create a clear meditative mind. And so that's what we want to develop, the ability of faith. suppose what you're going to do, you're going to go back to your seated position, be sure that your back is straight, your shoulders are relaxed. And you're going to cut the left hand and place it at the level of the navel, and the palm is upward. And the right hand, you're going to bring the index and the thumb together. You're going to bend your arm so your hand is at the level of your shoulders, facing forward. You are going to close your eyes on this one. And as you close your eyes, you're going to open your mouth and put your tongue down. And what you're going to do, you're going to inhale and exhale through the mouth. So you don't have to open your mouth very, very loud, very, very much, sorry. But just open enough so to leave that tongue out. And you inhale and exhale through this open mouth with the tongue out. And you're going to do that for about 3 minutes. One more minute. I need to drink some water after that meditation. I love this meditation. It's a beautiful meditation. So you could do it all the way up to 31 minutes if you really, really want it. But you can stop here, what we did, about 3-4 minutes. And it creates that beautiful expansion, which is priceless. Because from that place, you really just like, oh yeah, I can do this and I can do that. So, because you guys don't have particular questions, I want to go back to one thing that's perhaps one of the key elements to be able to hold faith on the top of all the things we talk about is really the notion of desires. And so I'm going to give you one more little exercise to do right now. Is, you know, look at your life and just write down 3 to 4 desires that you have. It could be very simple. Some of them could be whatever, to buy new clothes or to visit, meet that person, change this in your house, whatever that is. And some of them could be more spiritual or more heartfelt, about wanting to learn to play a musical instrument or whatever that is, doesn't matter. So write down 3 or 4. And so what I want you to do to check the quality of your desires, because that's really what's going to create fear or faith, is the quality of your desires. Then go one by one. Take the first one that you have done, close your eyes, and check your physical body. Connect your physical body from your feet through your legs and your torso and your head, and say, okay, when I explore, when I think about that desire, how does my physical body respond to that desire? Just go through it. And it should be fairly quickly, so I'm not going to give you a lot of time, but just take about 30 more seconds. So beautiful. So now just do the same quickly to desire number 2 that you wrote. Scan your physical body. And just be curious about the difference of experience that your physical body has when you check, when you scan your body for the desire number 2, from your feet to your head. Very good. So one of the ways to really assess the quality of your desires is when you scan your body, if you feel nothing, really nothing, that means this desire is not strong enough and there's no need to spend a lot of energy there. If you have a sense of agitation or a little bit tension, then I invite you to question the quality of this desire. If it perhaps may come from a place of reaction, from a place of fear, more than from a place of peace. The desire that comes from a place of peace, when you connect to it, the body starts to relax, expand, and get energized at the same time. All those three. If you don't experience those three in your physical body, then that desire is just not aligned with who you are. Therefore, it's going to be hard to experience faith. And that is something I invite you to be curious. So, we're going to close our time together, and just you're going to put your hands together. And you know, when you put your hands together, by the way, by your heart center, your hands represent the map of the brain. So you rebalance the right and the left part of your brain. You reconnect the sun energy and the moon energy. You reconnect with the feminine and the masculine polarities. And in order to be experiencing faith, we need to feel that sense of wholeness when we embody all of who we are. And from that place, you take a deep breath in. And as you take deep breath in, you connect to one of your four or five desires that you have mentioned, and you hold the breath in. And then you exhale through the nose. You're going to hold the breath out. And you're going to connect to that same desire when you hold the breath out. Could be a picture, could be a word, could be and then you're going to do that two more times. So you inhale, you hold the breath in, connect to the same desire, by the way, just let's stick to one. Feel it, receive it, bask into it, mean it, claim it. Then exhale through the nose and hold the breath out. And from a different place, as you hold the breath out, connect to that desire. And one last time, inhale and hold the breath in. And then exhale through the nose and hold the breath out. And release. You guys have done a great job today. You have lots of options, lots of practices, exercises to explore how you can experience more the quality of faith. If you want to work with me, you know what to do. Just shoot me an email. And if you need a little bit of help, just also email me. I will be more than happy to help you this way. Our next healing, virtual healing circle is going to be July 10th. I don't know what the topic is going to be yet, but I will let you know very soon. Thank you. Thank you. Have a great evening and be at peace with your desires. Bye.